The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Caring Voice, a Sunday morning program brought to you each week by Aberdeen Home Care of Danvers, where our hosts Joanne McGinnis and Scott Muir bring valuable strategies related to caring for the seniors in our lives.
Good morning, listeners to Caring Voice. This is Scott Muir. I am the Director of Operations at Aberdeen Home Care, and I am here in the studio with,
the very ordinary, regular person, Joanne McGinnis.
No, the one and only.
Oh, please.
The incredible Joanne McGinnis,
founder
and president of Aberdeen Home Care.
It's starting to become a problem. I walk down the sidewalk and say,
the paparazzi are following.
There
you.
She is.
There she is.
And they don't
know. Just walking down the
street singing. And they don't. Diddy dum, diddy do. Okay.
One of those voices
that
in
was
the background.
But they say, that's the woman that Scott Muir talks about. They don't know my name. They just say, that's who Scott
Joanne
Muir talks
McGinnis.
About. Yeah, well. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining Caring Voice here on Sunday morning at 7:30. We are going to bring you some very valuable information today, which may affect some of you. You know, it may really hit the nail on the head, and for others, it may be something that your best friend is going through. But it's when this is the first holiday that Dad has been in the nursing home.
Is it just you and I talking about
this today? No, we have special guests today.
That was plural.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay, you go. You introduce
Wait,
one.
Let me look behind the curtain. Holy smokes. Look who's here with us today.
Who?
We have Mike Duda, who is the minister, the reverend, the pastor at First Church Wenham.
That's right.
Bless you all. You didn't even sneeze. How about that?
No, how about that?
Hey, Mike, thanks for being a special guest today.
It's great to be here. And I think I read about you and Aberdeen in the Boston Globe. Was there something in the Boston Globe?
Oh, funny that you should mention that.
How about that?
Indeed, there is. We happen to carry it with us wherever we go.
Oh, there it is.
How
incredible is that?
Yeah, top places to work. We are number 18 in the small businesses.
And the only home
and
care
the
agency.
Only home care agency.
Thank you very much.
And we are proud as can be.
Yes.
Love it.
There you
we
have
talk
it.
About it at every opportunity. Thank you very much for being here.
I know. He brought it up. We didn't have
yes,
to.
How about that?
That's
it's
refreshing.
Great.
Well, we have another guest, too.
Yes, we do.
And that is Bob Staines.
One of our all-time favorites.
He is one of our all-time favorites.
Now, Mike is, too.
He is the president and founder of Bob Staines & Associates, which is a business dealing with conflict transformation.
Indeed.
And he has been our guest on many occasions, and I would say he's probably one of the most popular. And I'd like to see him and Mike start arm wrestling for who's going to be the best guest on Caring Voice.
Well, actually, we work together because Bob has been at our church, and it's why we have a church that's really conflict-free, because Bob has been there and taught us, you know, how to talk about the things we disagree about. So,
great to be here. Good to be here with you, Mike.
Yeah.
Thanks to both of you for being on the show. So, this is a loaded topic, and we were all in agreement, right, in September, and it couldn't be managed, and Dad kept falling. In fact, he fell on top of Mom one time, and he'd gone out to the emergency room in the ambulance several times. It was no longer possible for Dad to stay at home. So he said, okay, I'll still come home for dinner on Sundays, and Mom was okay. We worked so hard to make it okay. And for a while it was, and all of a sudden now it's December, and it doesn't feel right. You know, Mom's waking up by herself at home, and she's got the Christmas tree, and she calls in the morning, and she says, yeah, your father, you know, I just can't believe he's over there. And so this is a life-changing event for not only Mom and Dad, but also for the family. And we just want to dig a little deeper and peel that onion today and talk about the impact on everyone, how we can make it the best it can be, and how we can resolve within ourselves that it is what it is and kind of move on.
So this decision wasn't made in a vacuum. The family got together and included Dad in the conversation, and everybody decided this is probably the best course of action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's getting dangerous for Dad to be home, and we just can't do it anymore. He agrees, especially after having fallen on Mom.
Right,
he almost
right.
got a 2-for-1 trip to the hospital on that one.
Right.
So now it's happening, and the holidays are upon us, and something's just not right. Now maybe we're second-guessing this decision we made.
Is it buy one,
get
one?
The reality comes in. You start to feel the reality of this change, this huge change that's come into your life.
Right, right.
I think, you know, one of the toughest things, we're always dealing with change, but particularly as people age, dealing with change is just so challenging because, you know, most of the time you get sick and you say, okay, well, if I do this, this, and this, I'm going to get better. But aging is this sort of progression, mm-hmm. and you're kind of going down the stairs. Sometimes you're falling down the stairs, but, you know, hopefully not. But
you've watched me go down the stairs.
I've been there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But it's this progressive, path of losing more and more of your abilities. And it's hard. It's hard for the people we love when we see them going through it. And it's hard to deal with the consequences of that, like this, moving into a nursing home.
Mm-hmm. And along with that, then, come all the family dynamics. So, you know, this is Bob's area of expertise, too. So you've got some family members who may agree, you know, this is the right course of action, and others who do not. And how do we all come to terms with that? It's a highly emotional time, as Mike has just described, and, you know, there are so many things to consider here.
So we're trying to have some sort of consensus and trying to squeeze out some of this family happiness and togetherness around the holidays. And Sister Sue, who lives in California, who wasn't crazy about this whole nursing home idea, has now landed. And so as we're all kind of struggling with it and throwing it up in the air, oh, gee, it's harder than we thought. Well, I never thought it was a good idea anyway. And if you had listened to me, Dad'd be home right now, and everybody could have just pitched in a little more, and everything would be okay. So, Bob, I'm going to hit that tennis ball right over to you.
Well, you know, I think one of the problems that folks and families get into is avoidance. That we know that these things are coming down the pike, and it's really difficult to talk about them. So what many of us do is we just put it off. Or we just have such fear that it's like the ground freezes. We're not going to talk about this. And so things tend to go further and further underground, get worse and worse, get harder and harder to talk about. So when something does come up, it usually comes up in an eruption.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that people can engage that constructively is to think intentionally about how they want to have that conversation, to plan it, to think about what do you want to talk about, what needs to be discussed, and what's going to make it possible for you now to get past that kind of icy pond that you've created in your family. And there are very specific ways to do that as a family and also individually.
So the slip-sliding on that pond, yeah, to use your image there, you know, when these changes come into our lives, the one thing that probably doesn't change is the family dynamics that have always been there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like, you know, sister coming in from California, same old family dynamics, but new situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just as Bob was saying, you get all the emotions mm-hmm. out there. And it's really a time of loss.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, we think of loss when someone dies, mm-hmm. but loss is really seeing that person who held a certain place in our heart. We had a certain image, particularly a father who provided for the family, mm-hmm. someone we looked up to. And now that person is not who they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a loss. It affects people emotionally.
Mm-hmm. To this point, Mike, that you're making now, and the point you made earlier, too, is it can be a slow progression, not just an instantaneous loss. This is a loss that's taking place over time. And it's hard to come to terms with it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's where some of the avoidance and the denial comes in. I mean, one of the stages of grief is denial, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so because it's progressive and because it's in small steps, it's easy to avoid talking about it, to deny that it's really happening. That can really cause some slipping and sliding on that icy pond of family dynamics.
As is so often the case, when the decision is made that a long-term care plan has to be created and someone does leave the home and their condition changes rapidly once they've left home, their condition may have changed rapidly whether they stayed home or left home. And you'll hear people say, well, he tanked as soon as he went to the nursing home, and he very well may have tanked at home. So trying to blame or tag his changing condition on where he is now living might not actually be fair. There's a lot more to talk about on this. Obviously, we've just actually scratched the surface. We're going to take a short break. Please stay tuned and join us after the break, because we have a lot more to discuss about Dad being in the nursing home and how we're all going to cope with it.
You're listening to Caring Voice on North Shore 104.9.
I'm very excited to let our listeners know that we have some wonderful news. Aberdeen Home Care has been selected as a top places to work by the Boston Globe.
And boy, are we grateful. Not only for the Boston Globe recognizing us with this prestigious award, we're grateful for our caregivers and our nurses and our people in the field who are out there doing the work day in and day out.
Without them, without our clients, we could never have won this prestigious award.
We sure are grateful. Thanks to everybody who made that possible.
Aberdeen Home Care, ranked one of the top places to work in 2019 by the Boston Globe. Visit aberdeenathome.com. You're listening to Caring Voice, presented by Aberdeen Home Care on North Shore 104.9. Here are your hosts, Joanne and Scott.
Welcome back, listeners. Delighted to have you join us for part two here this morning as we tackle what happens when one elder loved one has to go into a long-term care facility. Scott and I are joined in studio by Reverend Mike Duda of First Church Wenham and Bob Staines of Bob Staines and Associate Conflict Transformation. And these two fellows have great expertise in dealing with families in crisis, no matter what the issue. So let's jump right in, panelists, about a scenario. So let's say that Dad is in a local facility, and we're not happy with the care that's going on. So not only has he left home, where we were able to control pretty much everything, when he got his meds, when he got his food, when he got, you know, all the care that he needed, and now we've had to relinquish the control of that, but we're not satisfied with what's happening. That doesn't that just add to the burn that we're feeling? See, we really made a bad choice, or this is a disaster and it's not working out.
Yeah, and you know, look at the change that happened. You know, probably he was living in his family home, been there for 50 years, mm-hmm. couple of bedrooms, lots of space, and now probably has a roommate and staff coming in, different people. And often families feel like, you know, not only was this a bad decision, but we must be the worst family yep. in the
How
world
we
for
do this
making
to Dad?
This terrible
right.
decision. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when Dad starts complaining about, you know, something mm-hmm. gets lost in the laundry, the mm-hmm. food is terrible, mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of this feeling of regret and also isolation.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
We're the first family that's probably ever dealt with this. You know, my dad is the first person who's ever had to deal with this. And so one of the things is, to sort of slow down and take a breath and say, you know, maybe we're not alone here. Mm-hmm. There are some other people around and there are caregivers, and getting to know some of those caregivers, getting to know the people in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And finding out how things really work there mm-hmm. Can make a huge difference. When I've been in nursing homes, one of the things I found with the staff is humor. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. having a good time, joking around, mm-hmm. taking an interest, remembering people's names mm-hmm. can make just a huge difference, mm-hmm. Not only for you and how you feel about having your loved one there, but helping your loved one become acclimated to this huge change.
So this becomes the new normal for them.
That's right. Mm. That's
and if you're feeling frustrated that you don't have access to physicians like you did before, you know, there's a physician that's in charge of the patients that live in this facility, and maybe you can't speak to the nurse exactly when you want to, I would encourage you to be engaged, be involved, visit often. And don't just run to the room to see mom or dad. Stop at the desk. And like Mike said, ask, oh, who's the nurse taking care of Dad today? Oh, hi, Sally. Just checking in to see how things are going. When you have a minute, can you just pop by the room? When my mother was in rehab, it was around Halloween, and I made a point, and I had to get a little second part-time job to afford it, of keeping a bowl of candy filled all the time, because that brought people into the room, and I wasn't so much worried about her that she wasn't getting care, but it brought her visitors, and people would say, oh, Judy, which one should I have? Should I have the M&Ms or should I have the Heath bar? And she'd say, well, it was just a point of conversation, and it also did allow the staff to feel as though they were seen. You know, we see you, we value you. Of course, I'm a nurse, and so I would connect with them, but if you're not in the medical field and you don't know how to break through that, it seems like a barrier wall. You don't know how to become familiar with the people on the unit, just try bringing a gift. I'm telling you, if you show up with a plate of cookies or you show up with a coffee cake on the weekend in the morning, you are saying to them, I see you, I notice you, and guess what? They're going to notice you too.
I like what you said, Mike, about remembering people's names. I think that goes a long way. Isn't it nice when somebody remembers your name and they get it right the first time.
And that's right, Fred.
That's right. Yeah, thanks, Marvin.
That's right. That's right, Steve.
Yeah, that's right. Call me anything. Just don't call me late for dinner. You know, get to know not just mom or dad's roommate. Get to know the, you know, you see the same faces when you come in. Find out a little bit about them. Engage them in conversation as well. And when your loved one sees that going on, maybe it makes them feel a little more comfortable, like, hey, I guess this is all right. You know, we've got a new community here, and this is okay. I can do this.
Well, and Joanne mentioned, you know, the Heath bars, which got me, my mouth watering.
Mm-hmm.
But, but you know, the food, like, you know, often at nursing homes, I'll find they'll have an ice cream social. They'll have, like, a special time for birthdays when they celebrate. Or even just mealtime, going and sitting at the table with your family member and getting to know some of the other people that are eating dinner with your family member. And that can be a great way. I mean, so many things melt away around food.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, not just having the candy bars in the room, but also participating in some of the activities that the nursing home sponsors. And that can be a great way of getting to know the people there.
Bob, I want to throw out a question to you. What Mike said earlier, that people are feeling as though they're the only ones that have done this and their elder is the only one that has ever had to relocate. When people can't break through the barrier of talking about it and kind of sharing their feelings because they're so loaded with guilt or remorse, they just can't get there. Can you help us walk us through how that might happen?
Well, you could make an appointment with your pastor, which I'm, you know, we're joking here in the studio, but I'm actually very serious about that. Whoever in your world is a trusted person, whether it's another relative, a friend, a pastor, take some time to sit down and talk about that and actually ask them to ask you questions about your experience. And that will help you to talk about it. That will help draw you out.
I think suffering in silence is the worst thing that you can do. And just continuing to beat yourself that you're in a situation that can't be changed. You're stuck. It was a bad choice and now it's permanent. And you're just sort of, you know, beating yourself up constantly about it. It's finding someone who will respect the feelings you have, even if they're hard to share. Even if you go in and you say, listen, Mike, I think I've made a mistake. I'm such an awful daughter. And you throw that out. And then you start the conversation up that way. Someone you trust to say things that, to make yourself vulnerable in front of.
And someone who will hold this in confidence as well.
Yeah, they say confession is good for the soul, and that's really true in terms of just talking about your feelings. You know, people try often to control their feelings. Your feelings are what you have. When you have a feeling, it's not good, it's not bad, it's a feeling. And it's how you act on those feelings, it's how you manage those feelings. So being able to acknowledge those feelings and talk to someone about it can really make a huge difference.
And one more point, excuse me, in addition to talking to somebody else, in my work I encourage people to write down strong feelings before they speak them, because based on the work of James Pennebaker, a psychologist who's demonstrated how writing down feelings changes the way that our brain manages them. So having people develop a journaling practice, particularly focusing on the feelings that they have around these situations, can really be constructive for them.
Well, let's talk about that some more when we come back from this last break of our show today. We're so fortunate to have these two experts, these two wonderful gentlemen with us today, and look forward to hearing some more from them as we come back from this break.
This is just the tip. We're just getting started.
Yeah,
I know.
You're listening to Caring Voice on North Shore 104.9.
Dashing through the snow with a brand new plastic hip. Grandpa, take it slow. Dear God, don't let him slip. He's stubborn as a mule. He won't let us get near. He just stepped on his hearing aid and now he cannot hear. Oh, Aberdeen, Aberdeen, can you save the day? Grandpa needs a lot of help. Can you come right away? Aberdeen, Aberdeen, we hear you are the best. Skilled and smart and caring, ahead of all the rest.
This is Joanne McInnes, RN, President of Aberdeen Home Care, Inc. Our goal, like yours, is the safety and well-being of your loved ones who may need skilled and compassionate care at home. Call us for a free consultation at 978-500-5161 or visit us online at aberdeenhomecareinc.com.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year!
You're listening to Caring Voice, presented by Aberdeen Home Care on North Shore 104.9. Here are your hosts, Joanne and Scott.
Welcome back, listeners, to Caring Voice. This is Scott Muir from Aberdeen Home Care. I am so fortunate to be in the studio today with two esteemed guests. We have the Reverend Michael Duda from the First Church in Wenham, and Bob Staines from Bob Staines & Associates Conflict Transformation, and of course, my colleague, the one and only Joanne MacInnis.
Wow, I was thinking you were going right by me.
Aberdeen Home Care.
I thought I was going to get away, without it.
Couldn't ever.
I'm trying
couldn't
to hide ever. Behind the monitor.
No, but you can't hide from me. See you there.
All right, I see you too. I see you and surgical ICU and medical ICU.
Intensive care unit.
All
That's
the ICUs.
What this is, right
yeah,
here.
Yeah. All right, so here we are, and we have an impending holiday, and we have Dad in the nursing home. We said, oh, let's bring him home for Thanksgiving. That'll be great. Just for dinner, and it'll be all great. Well, didn't he end up with like 101 temp, and they thought he had a cold, and it wasn't the best idea. So we brought dinner to him. We all piled into the Volkswagen bus, and we drove over to the Sunnyside Acres, and out we came, all 20 of us.
It was like a clown car.
It was a clown car.
Yeah. And let's go see Dad.
We all piled in with the cranberry sauce and the chestnut cherry stuffing.
8 hours worth
of
preparation.
Yeah, eight hours on that one.
A la Bob Staines.
And he loved it. Mm. But there were 20 of us in the room, and he just clammed up and closed his eyes. And we thought, is he sick? Is he dying? What's happening? He was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed with 20 people who were full of carbohydrates, and they were talking and laughing
too
and
much.
Carrying on. It was
overload.
It was the stuffing, really,
yeah.
is what did it.
Yeah.
So I think what we need to do is take inventory. Take inventory of where is Dad at? He left home for a reason, and that's because he wasn't well, and he needed care. Dad may have very little energy. When he left home, maybe he had 8 ounces of energy for the day. Maybe it's down to 6 now. Maybe he's doing some groups there, and he's doing some exercises, and that takes a lot of his energy, so his social energy is very limited. It doesn't mean it's not important. It just might mean that it's very limited. So when you think about who's going to visit or how long the visit's going to be, whether he comes home or whether you go to him, manage the expectations. You're focused on quality, not quantity. A great 10-minute visit is a great 10-minute visit, and a crappy hour visit is a crappy hour visit.
So it is what it is.
It is what it is. And so be honest, you know. Gee, Dad, and say it. Speak the truth. Dad, I know your energy is so low, and back in the day, we would have Thanksgiving dinners that went all day long, and the Christmas festivities would go on, and things are different now. It's hard for you, and it's hard for me, too. I wish we could go back, but we can't turn the clock back. But you know what we have? We have now. We have today. We are together, not just like we used to be, but we are together. So let's just hold on to that.
Let's make the most of these moments.
That's it, because it's a moment-by-moment thing. That's how we live, right?
Right.
So how about, let's bring our guest experts to talk about your counsel or your experience in dealing with families who are throwing it up in the air and say, well, there's no Christmas if he can't come home. It doesn't even exist. It's so beneath my expectations, I can't engage in it at all.
Give in your first example of sort of coming to the nursing home at the same time, I think we spend a lot of time thinking about how we can give and how we can do our best in giving to the people that we really love and we care for, and that's a really great thing. In a situation like this, I think we also need to be thinking about how we can receive, that we can feel as fulfilled and honored by a 10-minute visit as we would by an hour visit.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to really work on ourselves before we go into that situation, to be okay with that, to be okay with whatever it is and take it and receive it as the gift that it is.
Yeah, we started off talking about change. And so, you know, change doesn't mean that everything has to be new and different. You can talk about some of the things that you can bring into that situation to make it comfortable. You know, bringing a pet. I know when, you know, I've gone into nursing homes and you bring a pet, like you are the most popular person in the place.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody, oh, what a pretty dog. Or, you know, and particularly if someone's missing their pet or something else from home, you know, some photographs or something that's important can make a huge difference in helping that person deal with the change, but bringing in some of the things that have been important to you in the past.
If your mom just loved Christmas decorations and she was all over it, well, you know what? Get a Christmas tree in that room. And if she loved music, get those Christmas carols playing. Because even though you don't see it, their world has become smaller.
It doesn't have to be a big tree. We're talking about a tabletop tree that you can decorate, you know, as nicely as you can to fit the environment.
Right. But the world used to be big. The world used to be a job and traveling, and then the world was at home, and then maybe the world was in one room, and maybe now the world is in half a room. And maybe that's all the space they need to occupy. So being sensitive to their space and what's in that space and make it as beautiful as you can. I brought a decorated Christmas tree from a florist that plugged in into a nursing home. And the woman had visitors on a daily basis coming in to look at it because it was so pretty. And what would they talk about? The tree. And wasn't that easy? That tree is so lovely. Oh, my niece brought that. Isn't it pretty? Oh, I love it all day long. I just look at it all day long. And it makes me so happy. Scale it, scale it. Scale it to where they're at, not where you're at. If you're like Chevy Chase in that your favorite
Christmas
movie
Vacation.
There, yeah, and you need to have all
Clark
that.
Griswold family Christmas.
Yeah, if you need to throw off the circuit breakers to get your lights on, and that makes you feel whole, your elder loved one isn't in that space. Mm-mm. I'm just telling you right now, that's not where they're at. So you're bringing it to them where they are, literally and figuratively.
Well, that also acknowledges the exhaustion factor. You know, because this change, you're not in your own home anymore, you're going someplace else, and trying to recreate things that you can no longer do just really tires you out. And so doing small things, visiting in small numbers, you talked about, you know, the 20 relatives walking into, you know, this room that you can barely fit three people in.
And a Christmas tree.
Yeah. And once the Christmas tree's there, there's no room at all. But really, you know, spreading it out and doing it in smaller pieces. Yeah.
What's your best gift to your loved one in a nursing home?
Time with them.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to think, anyway.
Yeah.
I hope my loved one wants me to come.
I would,
back.
Too. It's the nourishment of the relationship. And if that's bringing in a special cup of hot chocolate or bringing in something from the outside that's a little different than what they might get there, maybe you're going to dress up in a funny elf hat. I know someone personally who has a funny elf hat.
It's really good, though. Come on.
And it sings. It sings.
It's really good.
And the ears flap back
and
forth. Bring in your dog. Put a little holiday sweater on your dog. You're nurturing the relationship. And that's what your best gift is the gift of your time and your attention. And if sad things come up, validate them. I really wish I wasn't here. Dad, I wish you weren't here, too. And sometimes we get stuck, and this is what we have to deal with. But just know it's not easy for me either. And I hear you, that it's not easy for you.
And we still love you. We love you so much. And, you know, just because you're not home doesn't mean we're not thinking about you every moment of every day. You know?
So we talked about feelings, and just being present makes such a difference. But that means acknowledging your own feelings. And there's a wonderful poem by Rumi called The Guest House. And it goes like this. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond.
Outstanding, Mike. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that.
Amen.
And I think with that, we thank Bob Staines so much, Reverend Mike Duda, Scott Muir. Thank you for being part of our show today. And for those who are listening, and if this has really struck your heart and it's plucked a chord for you, find someone if you need to talk, if you need some help, if you need reassurance, if you need care. Reach out to someone in your circle that might be able to help you because you're not alone.
There's support out there.
There is.
That's the bottom line.
Stay tuned next Sunday morning at 7:30 for more of Caring Voice. And until then, please take good care.
Tune in again next week for Caring Voice, brought to you by Aberdeen Home Care in Danvers. Caring Voice airs each and every Sunday morning at 7:30. Your hosts, Joanne MacInnis and Scott Muir, provide valuable strategies related to caring for the seniors in our lives. The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.